All right, and we're on. I do have a deep, deep love for that theme. That is the theme to the Hammer Horror TV show, and yeah. I just love that. And I hope that they don't sue me for using it, and I'm sure they will at some point, if anybody ever listens to this. But in the meantime, we are back for a mini episode here of Deep Cuts, where we're going to discuss... Each of us is bringing a film to the table that we did not get to talk about in our themes, but we wanted to talk about because we love it so very much. And with us, as always, is Mr. Dingman, Carnival of Pandemonium. Say something, Dan, please. Acknowledge your presence.
Hi.
All right. Wow. Nice work. Nice work. always a pleasure. And then, of course, bonus Mike Black here for the bonus episode.
Hi, everyone.
And honorable mention, Amanda Brass.
Hello.
Mr. Alf Vampire Lamont. All right, let's get going. Amanda Brass, what movie did we not talk about that you wanted to talk about? Talk to me.
I nearly did this for potluck. It is a movie that has messed me up from childhood. Mm-hmm. It is a little feature called Tourist Trap. 1979, filmed in Louisiana. Story takes place in Louisiana. Unsuspecting travelers, like people on a car trip, stop at a roadside little museum of horror and wonders and never leave. The man who runs this show has telekinetic powers, locks all the doors, shuts all the windows, traps all the people inside. And then here's where I start to get like deep, deep soul cuts. He covers everybody in plaster and saves their nose for the very last, and then he watches them suffocate, and then they become mannequins in the store. Like, what? We didn't need any of that. I was way too young for this movie, but the implications have followed me for the rest of my life. Tourist Trap. Not one single notable actor in it, but devastating Tourist Trap.
So, Journey into the Unknown, a theme we know and love, and obviously that journey can turn sour real fast. But also, like, I mean, there's tons of movies where, like, oh, we're keeping the corpses and yeah. You know, like, there's wax movies and, like, yeah. all of, and, ooh, they're actually bodies. Yes. And, I mean, the biggest, like, speaking of tourist traps, you go to literally any European city... And one of the most obvious and most ubiquitous tourist traps are the Amsterdam dungeon, the London dungeon, the York dungeon, the Edinburgh dungeon, the insert European city dungeon.
Catacombs.
That basically has the wax versions of like, are these actual people? Is this actually what went on? And it's just kind of bites into that part of our psyche where we're just like, this could be real? Is this happening? Like, all of that kind of stuff.
I was mostly scared of the person who was toying with their victims. Like, again, covering them. Like, they're screaming and protesting. They're tied down to a table. Again, he's got telekinesis. There's no getting away now. Him slowly covering them with plaster all the way around their face and then leaving two little nose holes and then... pinches them off, and then you see them no thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Over the top.
Horrifying.
Absolutely too much. F this film in the b-hole.
How much less traumatizing would the film have been had they used the soundtrack from Mannequin?
And had Hollywood in it.
Hollywood help.
Lemonade.
Yeah. But it devastated me. I had a real problem with Louisiana and New Orleans after that because I thought shit like that happened all the time.
I mean, it does.
It does.
I mean, so there's also... You guys remember the Body Worlds exhibit?
I love it.
Yes.
I'm a big fan.
With the plasticine? I hated it.
Oh, it's Eine kleine Deutsche. It's a little dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guy who made it, Dr. Huygens or Fugens or something like that, has a real, like, I connect bodies kind of vibe to him.
It's fascinating, but you feel dirty and weird the whole time you're looking at it.
There's arguments to be made about showing the intricacies of the human body, but then there's just a moment where just like, here is a human body on top of a horse holding its own brain. And you're just kind of like, what's the point of that? Like, where is the, now it's just showing up. Now it's just like, look what else we can do, right? Now
maybe I would have preferred the 1890s going to a laboratory, watching them do an autopsy and showing us all of the pieces.
The good old fashioned way.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it just seemed like a bunch of people trying to out-goth each other to me.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's good. You guys, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. In L.A., I went and saw, it was kind of in the museum district there, right? Or was it downtown?
Yeah.
I went and saw it, and the very last thing they show you before you exit through the gift shop is a pregnant woman, and her feet is inside her stomach, but cut open so you can see it. Some woman stole the fetus out of the display and left like a really nasty little up yours note to the security. They've never recovered the fetus.
Well, why do you want that?
And they say
she said she stole it because she could.
The fetus can still be seen at night.
Did you guys see
they looked at me.
Did you guys see the edition that had the camels?
That's my fetus impersonation, by the way.
Very good. totally in the moment.
There's one version going around that has camels, and then they have like a little tiny baby camel that's all like sliced. And I'm just like, oh, what about that one artist that does all the weird cut in half horses and stuff? You know who I'm talking about? What's his name?
Yes, what's his name? No. No, it, like real animals.
No.
What's his name?
It's gross.
Slides, right? Like big glass.
Crying out loud. Why?
Yeah. What is the movie with Jennifer Lopez and Vince Vaughn? The Cell? It's that sort of thing.
Again,
I went and saw it.
We outgoth each other here.
Yeah.
Is this art or is this just gross? I think it's just gross.
You'll know it.
Damien Hirst.
There we go.
For crying out loud, how could I not remember Damien Hirst? He's so weird and hacky, but also kind of fun.
Basically, getting paid to do what the Black Dahlia guy did for free.
Yeah, basically. And then that's dark in itself. Yeah.
I know. Talk about a cease and desist letter.
Oh.
All right, Dan. What movie did we not talk about that you wanted to bring up?
So, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's from the 1959, and it is The Haunting of Hill House.
Classic.
So good. So well made. You never see a ghost. You never see anything. It's all about the sound. The sound in that movie is so good. When the two ladies are in their bedrooms, there's like a Jack and Jill situation, and you can hear it. The boom, boom, boom coming down the hall, and then it just starts scratching the door. Terrifying. And it's so well done. It's so good. Like, and besides that, like, if you've ever read the story, the book is terrifying. Like, it's such a good ghost story. And the way they made it in 59 is so good. And then when they did it in 99, they decided to just put it in the toilet, sit on it, and then flush it. Terrible.
Fair.
Even with good actors, I love Liam Neeson, but that 1959 version is so scary.
Yeah.
It's so good, the original version in black and white. And like I said, you never, ever see
it. And remind me of the premise here. Is it that classic, like, you must stay the night here, and then if you survive, you get the house, right?
Yeah. It was conducting experiments.
What a weird trope that is. What a weird, like, repetitive thing. Like, if you survive the night sleeping here, you get a prize.
Right. But everyone, but it couldn't be done because everyone had some sort of weird mental illness. Right. Right? Like, there was like a raging narcissist, and like the main character was, her mother was dying and was kind of like a nunnish daughter type, you know?
Right. Right.
A lot of tropes, but oh, it's cool. So good. It's such a good movie.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you. And Mr. Mike Black, what is your honorable mention that you are...
Well, we covered the Wes Craven masterpiece, Swamp Thing. Ah. But we didn't ever get into the sequel, Swamp Thing 2. Which is fucking terrible. It's... But they got everyone back.
There you go.
They didn't get back Adrian Barbeau. But they upgraded, or at least I'm sure they think they did, with Heather Locklear. They got back Louis Jordan as Anton Arcane. But he's playing a clone of himself, of course, that he made. And where the original film had a pretty cool monster fight at the end, this one they had, like, one of his lab assistants just gets a really big head. And so you see Swamp Thing just beat the living shit out of a guy with a really big head. It's not even close to a fair fight. And then I think they planned a big finale monster fight, but ran out of budget because it ends with a vault door falling on Louis Jordan.
Oh.
But just on like his feet, so kind of pinning him.
It's the reverse Wizard of Oz there.
Yeah, and as the lab is exploding around him, he just looks kind of over it. And then Swamp Thing rescues Heather Locklear. And I know you're thinking, well, the first one had a great nude scene with Adrian Barbeau. What does this one have for the eroticist coming to see the film?
What is it?
It has a love scene between Swamp Thing and Heather Locklear that, I shit you not, begins with him pulling a weird herb off of his body and going, "Eat this." She hallucinates a much hotter man fucking her. And that may be the finest moment in the film. Oddly enough, taken directly from the comics, Alan Moore wrote pretty much that exact scene verbatim when he was writing Swamp Thing.
Wow. Interesting. And, you know, the whole film, the second Swamp Thing film, was filmed in 27 days.
I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
It shows.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. All right. Well, so I basically just wanted to say that, like all Hammer horror films are amazing. Yeah. Especially all Hammer horror films with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And we just, time and time again, we all just talk about how they're handed crappy scripts, how they're handed no budget for these films. And these guys, just by their presence, just by saying, you know what, I'm an actor and I'm going to put all my skills into these roles, they elevate the films. And that became just such a winning combination for Cushing and Lee, that, you know, other people would come to them and go like, okay, can we do the Hammer thing here? Here's your sweaty handful of cash. And can you just be in our movie, right? Yeah, right? Like, out of the sock, right? Yeah, basically. and so I think this happens several times. There's actually like I can't remember the name of it. I think it's like The Seven Golden Vampires, which is a Peter Cushing film. And I believe it was a Chinese Peter Cushing film. I think it was a martial arts Peter Cushing. It's available on YouTube. That's awesome. That's not the movie I'm bringing up, though, just to show like just a wide variety.
You should
the
just movie be aware. That,
you should be aware. But my my honorable mention is, in fact, The Creeping Flesh from 1973.
Wow!
It is a Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee film. It is not a Hammer film, though people just group it in there because it's very Hammery in the way it works. But the story is like basically Peter Cushing comes back with a giant malformed skeleton of pure evil, and evil is a sickness that can be cured. And then the skeleton slowly regenerates. They've got what is either a finger or a dong in a jar, and that eventually becomes like a full monster.
I would want specifics if I had a jar that had either a finger or a dong in it.
It's pretty graphic. I'm not gonna lie, the dong finger thing, it's just like in a jar and you're just like, didn't they do that to Rasputin? Yeah, it's pretty, but the movie itself, again, it's absolutely ludicrous. The monster that's in it is batshit. It's childish. It's very goofy. But again, you get that weird moment where Peter Cushing is in a vulnerable place emotionally in his life. And I think the movies that were made around the period in time when Peter Cushing lost his wife are very vulnerable films. And when Cushing talks about his daughter and about his family in this movie, it is deeply, deeply emotional. It is solid, solid acting. And I've been obsessing this entire October around, you know, Vincent Price and Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, and all of these incredible, classically trained actors with the long sound on the actor, and what an honor it is to have these performances in these what my brother and I refer to as shit-tastic films, and how much better and how much more watchable they are because of that. Right, there's films that are just never going to get there because they did not have these people in it, but yeah. Just The Creeping Flesh, I think, is one of the best non-Hammer Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing movies. And it starts off with a creepy painting, and it just goes completely haywire. And good evil performance by Christopher Lee. Like, the whole thing is just it's what you want it to be. And the ending is just it's the classic end of Flash Gordon question mark, right?
Or
right.
Is he?
Or is it? Right? Yeah, exactly. It's that. Like, well, now that's been resolved. Or has it? And I mean, is there a better way to end anything for Christopher Lee, or period, anything, than that? Or is it? So this has been our last episode of Deep Cuts for October 2021. You will not see us again till next year.
Or will you?
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a happy Halloween. I hope you guys have some fun stuff to do. We're going to be giving out full-size candy bars over here.
Happy Halloween.
Have some water and lie down.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
All right. Sounds good. Right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.